Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Retirement Clarity Radio. I am your host, Scott Newhouse. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm very excited that you're here. I'm also really excited because we're about like an hour and 10 minutes away from the last episode of the first half of Better Call Saul's final season. As I've said on this podcast, the YouTube channel before, I love this show. So I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Land of Enchantment, which I guess is like a New Mexico little catchphrase that they have. And Mike on Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, he wore this shirt, I think, in season 5 of Better Call Saul. So I'm just revved up, ready for this episode. But to pass the time, I thought I would hang out with my YouTube and podcast friends talking about three reasons why I disagree with Warren Buffett's investment advice. Now, I need to get this out at the outset. I love Warren Buffett. I'm a big fan of his. He is one of my favorite people to learn from, both inside the financial world as well as outside of the financial world. I've been a fan of his for a very long time, and I even went to his annual conference in 2017 with my dad, and we had a great time. And I do tend to agree with almost everything that Warren says, but, and this is what this episode is about, he offers some investment advice that I really don't quite buy into. I can't really get behind it. And he actually says this with some frequency, some regularity. So I wanted to talk about that. Now, before we get into it, if you did not know, Warren Buffett has a company called Berkshire Hathaway, which he uses to buy businesses outright, like Dairy Queen and Geico. You know, Berkshire owns those completely. And then he also buys parts of businesses through the stock market. So he owns a portion of American Express, Apple, and I think they just got rid of a position in Wells Fargo. I think they also have some Exxon. You know, so he owns different parts of businesses through his company, Berkshire Hathaway. Now, over the last 60 years of Warren doing this, Berkshire's gotten a 20.1% rate of return, which is absolutely phenomenal. And that is compared to the S&P 500 return of 10.5%. So he almost doubled the return of the S&P 500. Now, needless to say, those results are absolutely incredible and extremely impressive. And this is how it relates to you. Not everyone can do that. In fact, most people cannot do that. Warren himself knows that, as he has himself seen countless people try to replicate those results, and frankly, he's seen them fail at trying to replicate the results that he has. So, the advice that Warren gives, and he gives this really often, and you've probably heard it yourself, he has said for years, and I quote in Warren's words, "In my view, for most people, the best thing to do is to own the S&P 500 index fund." Now, that's what this shorter episode is going to be about. I do think this is good advice, but it's not personally what I do, and it's not what I recommend for my clients. And I don't think you should do it either. Before I tell you what I think you should do, I should say that I 100% agree with Warren that for most people, investing in index funds is the way to go, especially index funds that are low cost and well diversified. So we completely agree on that, but there are three reasons why I do not think that you should only be buying the S&P 500. And that's why I don't like his advice, because his advice is, hey, just throw it all in the S&P 500 if you're not going to, you know, buy businesses like him, which most of us are never going to be able to do. So he says, throw it all into the S&P 500 index fund. I do not like that idea, and I have three reasons why. So let's just dive right into them. The first reason is that I think you should own more than 500 companies. So the S&P 500, as the name suggests, only invests in 500 companies. Now, I do want to say that owning 500 companies is not bad at all. Like, that's not a bad start. Because too often I see and I hear and I meet people who think that being diversified is only owning 10 or 15 or 20 individual stocks, which to me is absolutely crazy. So if you have at least 500 stocks in your portfolio, I do think you're well on your way to diversifying your investments. However, for my own personal accounts, my clients' portfolios, we have over 9,000 different stock holdings, 9,000 different companies that we own. So yes, the S&P, the 500 companies in the S&P 500 are great, but when you do that, you're only investing in the largest companies inside the US, and I want you to be invested in more companies than just those 500 to get the full benefits of diversification. So that's my first point of disagreement with Warren. You gotta own more than 500 companies. I personally own over 9,000, as do my clients. The second reason why I disagree with Warren is that I think you should be invested internationally as well as inside the US. So the S&P 500 is only invested in companies inside the United States. And the United States has been an incredible place to invest with our great economic system and our great political stability. So I absolutely want you to be invested inside the US and in US companies. But there have been periods of time in the stock market history when international stocks have outperformed US stocks. So if you look from 2000 to 2010, the S&P 500 was essentially flat. It was essentially flat through that time period due to the tech bubble and the bursting of that bubble in the early 2000s, as well as, of course, September 11th. And that was in the early 2000s. Then, in the later part of that decade, we had the Great Recession, which happened in 2008 and 2009. And so that's why the US stocks from 2000 to 2010, they were actually down quite just a little bit, but they were basically flat for that decade. During that same time period though, international stocks had solid returns over the course of the decades, over that decade, positive returns. And so they clearly outperformed US stocks in that 10-year period. Since 2010 though, I do need to say, US stocks have massively outperformed international stocks. So what's going to happen over the next 10 years? I have no idea. What's going to happen over the next 30 to 40 years, which is the time horizon that, you know, a lot of the folks that I talk to, maybe you listening, watching this, that you have in retirement, a 30 40 to 40 year retirement. Now, I have no idea what's going to outperform over that time period, but at some point, international stocks will have a period in which they outperform US stocks, and you simply will not be able to capitalize on that if you are only invested in the S&P 500. And so that's the second reason why I disagree with Warren on this advice. I think you should own stocks outside the US as well as stocks inside the US. Now, my third point of disagreement with Warren is that I think you should own large, medium, and small size companies. So Warren recommends only invest in the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 is made up of the 500 largest companies inside the US. Now, when you do that, you're missing out on small size companies as well as medium size companies, which offer great long-term returns on their own. Now, over the last 10 years, I've got to admit, full disclosure, large-sized companies have done better than medium and small-sized companies. But over the last 100 years, small-sized companies have done better than large-sized companies. What's going to happen over the next decade, the next 50 years, the next 100 years? I don't know. But I don't only want to have my assets and my investments in large-sized companies inside the U.S. So, to be clear, medium-sized companies as well as small-sized companies, they have more volatility, higher ups and downs with more frequency than large-sized companies. So you need to factor that into your overall investment plan. So if you want to tilt a little bit towards larger-sized companies but still incorporate medium and small-sized companies, I think that's fine and I think that's a really good strategy. But I don't want you to completely ignore medium-sized and small-sized companies because you're going to miss out on that extra diversification as well as the potential for boosting your returns. So there we have it, three reasons why I don't love Warren Buffett's advice to only buy the S&P 500 index funds. Yes, the S&P 500 has great companies in it, and I own all of those companies in my personal accounts, but I also own medium-sized companies, small-sized companies, and companies outside of the US. In short, if you follow my advice, I think it's going to give you more diversification, more opportunities for strategic selling and or rebalancing, and the potential, no guarantee, but the potential of higher returns over the long term. So if you think this is helpful, I would love it if you like, subscribe, wherever you're on, just give it a thumbs up. And if you would like me to personally review your investments as well as create a free one-page retirement plan for you, I'd be happy to do so. Just go to startmyretirement.us and book a time for us to chat. That's all I've got for today. Hope you all have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks again for listening. As a reminder, you should consult with a financial advisor familiar with the specific circumstances of your unique financial situation before making any financial decisions. Nothing in this podcast is a solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities. Any mentions of rate of return are hypothetical in nature and not a guarantee of future returns. Scott Newhouse, CFP, is an investment advisor representative of Forthright Finances, a California and Nevada registered investment advisor.